Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
An 88-year-old man in Maine fought off his second fox attack in 4 months this week by choking the animal with his bare hands. Usually, the only person who's the victim of this many fox attacks is Hillary.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to Curb Your Enthusiasm star and creator Larry David. But first, a closer look.
The House voted today to rein in the president's war powers as it becomes increasingly clear the Trump administration lied to justify an unconstitutional act of war. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Amid lingering tensions and unanswered questions from a crisis he started with Iran, as well as an impending impeachment trial in the Senate, President Trump took questions at the White House today and decided to whine about the fact that no one gives him credit for giving up his presidential salary. Trump tried to say that he donates the money to good causes, like fighting the opioid epidemic, but it didn't quite come out the right way.
I spent a lot of my own money, and I always asked the question, I said, I wonder if it was necessary, because I don't think anybody even knew that I was spending it. I'd mention it every once in a while, but I don't know. For instance, I give up my salary. It's $450,000, approximately $450,000 presidential salary. I give it up. It goes to, usually I give it to drugs.
I don't think that's how you want to phrase that. You give it to drugs? Which drugs do you give it to? Are they downers? Is that why you always look like you just downed a bottle of benzos during a gas leak? Trump's deep insecurity, of course, is one of his many off-putting qualities. But the one particular quality we've seen on display yet again this week is his fundamental lawlessness. Remember, in the last week, he repeatedly threatened to commit war crimes against Iran, saying he'd target sites important to Iran and the Iranian culture. And I would just like to point out that the guy threatening to destroy Iranian cultural sites is the same guy who lost his mind when people suggested taking down Confederate statues honoring white supremacists here in this country, despite the fact that most of those statues, like this one, are ugly as hell. That is a real statue. Look at that face. That statue looks like it just found out the South lost the Civil War. So Trump threatened multiple times to destroy cultural sites in violation of the law, which meant the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense had to go on TV and try to reassure people that the president would not, in fact, order them to do something illegal.
We'll behave lawfully. We'll behave inside the system. We always have, and we always will. The American people should know that every target that we strike will be a lawful target.
I'm fully confident that the president is not going to, the commander-in-chief will not give us an illegal order.
Oh, you're confident he won't give you an illegal order? He ordered his ex-fixer to illegally cover up an affair, and he personally wrote the check for the hush money while he was president. Look at that. That's the check. Lots of presidents have scandal, but Trump's the only one who paid for his by check. If you go to the National Archives, you're not going to find a check with George Washington's signature on it that says, sorry about your cherry tree. Trump is literally named in the Michael Cohen indictment as Individual One, and he was impeached for trying to extort a foreign country to cheat in the 2020 election. The guy gives illegal orders all the time. When he's traveling by himself, he probably tells his driver to get in the carpool lane. But, sir, we're on Air Force One. I don't care. I want to take the LIE to a Hooters in Ronkonkoma. And then during a meeting in the Oval Office on Tuesday, Trump tried to walk back his deranged threat to commit war crimes, but he did it very reluctantly.
We are, according to various laws, supposed to be very careful with their cultural heritage. And you know what? If that's what the law is, I like to obey the law.
No, you don't. And there's really nothing more suspicious you can say than, I like to obey the law. Imagine how that would go in a real-life situation if a cop pulls you over and says, do you know how fast you were going? And you just respond by saying, I like to obey the law. They're gonna find that bag of Coke in your glove compartment. Sir, is that why you've been sniffing so much? I give all my money to drugs. And now, members of both parties have become increasingly convinced that the strike that set off this latest crisis, the assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, was an unconstitutional act of war. Trump and his team have tried to justify the strike by claiming Soleimani posed a, quote, imminent threat. But watch how cagey Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been about it.
President Trump says that General Soleimani was planning a, quote, imminent attack. What was the plan? Who were the targets? And how soon?
There's things we simply cannot make public about what it is we knew at that time and what, in fact, we know today about the continuing activity.
So was the justification in that he's been this destabilizing force in the region for so long, or was the justification this imminent threat?
Chuck, it's never one thing.
When you say the attacks were imminent, how imminent were they? Were we talking about days? Were we talking about weeks?
If you're an American in the region, days and weeks, this is not something that's relevant.
If you're looking for imminence, you need to look no further than the days that led up to the strike that was taken against Soleimani.
That's not what imminent means. It means ready to take place, happening soon. You don't get to just reinvent words. If you're going to do that, then you have to change the word itself. For example, if you wanted to change the definition of the word tolerated, then you'd have to change the word itself to something like
tolerated.
Now, in general, there's zero reason to trust anything the president or his aides say. They're all proven liars, and even when they're not lying, they get basic facts wrong and make dumb mistakes. For example, just yesterday, the president lied about the Obama-era Iran deal and said this.
Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013.
There are many things wrong with that statement, including the fact that the final deal was signed in 2015. Dude, just Google it, or ask Siri, although given how low Trump's numbers are with women, he probably wouldn't have much luck there either. Siri, when was the Iran nuclear deal signed?
Look it up yourself. I can't tolerate you anymore.
So they claimed a top general posed an imminent threat in order to justify an assassination that sparked a crisis that put us on the brink of a horrific and disastrous war. Then yesterday, the Trump administration sent briefings to Congress to present evidence of the, quote, imminent threat. And members of both parties came away from the briefing unconvinced.
We did not get information inside that briefing that there was a specific imminent threat. I think it is likely because it doesn't exist.
There was no specific information given to us of a specific attack.
My reaction to this briefing was it was sophomoric and utterly unconvincing.
The basic theme of it was the administration essentially saying, trust us.
One of the messages we received from the briefers was, do not debate, do not discuss the issue of the appropriateness of further military intervention against Iran. And that if you do, you'll be emboldening Iran. Now, I find this insulting and demeaning. It's un-American. It's unconstitutional. And it's wrong. I find that absolutely insane.
I love when a politician figures out this late in the game that the Trump administration is insane. It's like someone watching Mrs. Doubtfire and turning to you after an hour and saying, I think the British lady might be Robin Williams. So, you just saw a large group of senators and House members of both parties complain this was a horrible military briefing. In fact, that last senator, Mike Lee, a staunch Trump ally, called it the worst briefing I've seen, at least on a military issue, in the 9 years I've served in the United States Senate. And yet, in response to the criticism from Lee, Trump insisted today that unnamed senators were calling him and telling him the briefing was actually amazing.
Mr. President, I'm sure you saw Mike Lee's comments. Did your national security team really say that it would be wrong for Congress to debate military action on Iran?
So here's what happened on that. I had calls from numerous senators and numerous congressmen and women saying it was the greatest presentation they've ever had.
Oh, numerous senators said that. Which ones?
You would know them. They go to a different school in Canada.
The people cheering on a war with Iran are the same warmongers who lied us into a catastrophic and immoral war in Iraq 17 years ago, and they're using the same tactics all over again, lying about imminent threats, trampling the Constitution and international law, and, of course, trying to frame anyone who opposes war with Iran as siding with the enemy over Americans, like former Trump official Nikki Haley, who said this on Tuesday.
The only ones that are mourning the loss of Soleimani are our Democrat leadership. And our Democrat presidential candidates.
Man, you really have to be a husk of a person to go work for Donald Trump. I mean, the only people who take jobs with Trump are his gang of mafia-themed Mr. Potato Head dolls. But the Haleys of the world are especially infuriating because they put on an act and pretend to have some dignity, whereas with Trump, you know what you're getting. I mean, he's shameless and he's open about it. He's the kind of guy who would sell you a fake watch in Times Square and brag to you that it's fake.
It's not a Cartier, it's a Fartier. Look, it's just as good. Plus, it has an alarm.
And then there's Georgia Congressman Doug Collins. Now, you might remember him as the auctioneer on Adderall whose job it was to shout a bunch of incoherent nonsense during the impeachment process. So no one could actually understand what he was saying.
This idea of throwing law in fact, we've disproven the facts. We've talked about the law wasn't broken. They didn't put it in the Constitution. So I can yell on both of them. I can talk about both of them.
I still have not got a transcript. We still don't know what we got. And the White House still has not got their stuff.
I was told I couldn't, even though there have been staff conversations well before. I was told I was asking too late.
That's almost like saying, why don't you ask, you know, frame your questions differently. He said this is what he wanted looked into. He said, help us as a country because we're trying to heal.
My God, man, take a Xanax. You sound like you did a speedball in the bathroom at Studio 54. Well, last night, Collins took a break from rambling incoherently to level a truly disgusting accusation at Democrats who opposed Trump's march to war with Iran.
I did not think she could become more hypocritical than she was during impeachment. But guess what? Surprise, surprise. Nancy Pelosi does it again, and her Democrats fall right in line. One, they're in love with terrorists. We see that. They mourn Soleimani more than they mourn our Gold Star families, who are the ones who suffered under Soleimani.
Unlike Doug Collins, I'm going to say this very slowly so everyone can understand it. Off! I mean, you're accusing Democrats of siding with terrorists over Gold Star families? There's only one famous reality show turned president who said he and Kim Jong-un, quote, fell in love, and who has repeatedly attacked or fought with Gold Star families like the Khans. Think about how pathetic that is. Trump attacked the parents of a fallen soldier, and that's the guy you support, Doug Collins. You swamp-diving, Boomhauer-looking crawdaddy. It is becoming increasingly clear that a lawless president violated the Constitution to order the assassination of a foreign official and then lied about it. And the only people cheering him on are the reckless warmongers who've lied us into war before. But now, members of both parties want to rein Trump in. The only way you could believe anything this president says is if you're on
drugs.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guest tonight is an Emmy Award-winning writer and comedian whose critically acclaimed show Curb Your Enthusiasm returns to HBO for its 10th season on January 19th. Please welcome back to the show our friend Larry David. Welcome back.
Oh, yes. Thank you. You can't control them.
They're impossible to control.
No,
it's pointless to try.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away about the season. I'm so happy there's a 10th season. I want to be surprised every week.
What could you give away? You don't know anything.
True. I don't know anything. Yeah. I guess I'm not. What I'm saying is I'm not going to press you for spoilers or anything.
No, you can press away. It will amount to nothing.
Will you at least be? Is that how you've always felt about bathroom attendance? Will you admit that much?
You know, your heart sinks when you see him.
Yeah.
You know? Oh my God! Because then you know you're going. You don't want them there.
Yeah.
Why are they there? It's horrible.
You've been fine without them.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah.
You know, wait outside, then go in.
Right.
You know. And then there's the whole tip issue. With
right.
Them, right?
Which is getting, genuinely getting harder because and nobody carries cash anymore.
Right. There's a tip basket, and as you pay, you're going, I got no money for this guy. You got to say, I'll come back. I'll come back. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Have you, be honest, have you ever come back? Have you ever left and gone?
Yeah.
Thank you for your honesty. You were here a couple years ago, but I'm very lucky. I run into you every now and then on the summer.
Yes.
I feel like we both feel the same about the summer, and we feel the same about the beach. Are you a fan?
Could not loathe it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see... I don't see why anybody would be on that surface.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's in your toes. And then there's the water. What is up with that? It's cold.
Yeah.
Who goes in cold water? Why are you going in cold water?
Some would argue.
How does that feel good?
Some would argue it's a bracing experience. You're refreshed when you go in cold water. Do you feel that way ever?
Yeah, I could do without the brace.
You don't need the brace?
I don't need the brace.
Yeah.
No, I don't need it at all. But, you know, if there was grass, okay?
Yeah.
And the ocean, maybe once in a blue moon.
Right. Well, there you got a lake. You've just described a lake. I'm a far bigger fan of the lakes than the ocean.
Oh, the lake is a beautiful thing.
There's no downside to the lake.
I love the mountain thing.
Yeah.
The mountain, the cabin. Not so much the cabin.
Right. The idea of the cabin.
The idea and the lake.
Yeah.
I find a lot better.
Yeah.
Than the ocean and the that sand.
That's... Well, the sand, you walk in. The other thing I hate about the sand in the ocean, sand, ocean. Now you're wet. Now you come out covered in sand. The sand sticks to you.
Yes.
Only way to get it off back in the ocean. It's this just vicious.
It's a terrible,
vicious cycle.
Terrible cycle. What you love. I don't know where they have this, but I think I've seen it somewhere. You know, the faucet.
Yeah.
You know, for the feet.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. They don't have it next to a lot of oceans. That's the problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I've seen it at pool, like a pool house or something. Yeah, but, you know, this is what we're talking about. And a lot of the people we know, friends we have in common, they love the beach. They would like nothing more.
They love the beach and they love their boats.
Yeah.
The boats.
Yep.
Now, that's crazy.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't want
to be on a boat? Why?
Yeah.
Why are you on a boat?
Right.
Everything in the world is off the boat, on the land.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the boat.
I can appreciate people who get on a boat. Years ago, I want to say, I am not disparaging people who years ago went from one country to another on a boat.
On the boat, of
That's
course.
That's fine.
A mode of transportation.
Yes, of course.
I understand that.
Yes.
Yes.
I tip my cap to them.
Me too.
But people who
I'll reveal my bald head to them. Yes.
Yeah. The thing is, most boats, you got to get on the little boat to go out to the boat.
The dinghy.
Yeah. You got to get in the dinghy.
A precarious name. By the way, what a name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were trying to tell you with the name, this is what idiots do. Why is it called the dinghy? It's for idiots.
It's for idiots. No, you take the dinghy to the other boat.
Yeah.
Now you take the other boat out.
Yeah.
To do what?
Right.
Yeah. To look around?
Yep.
What, think about what?
You can't think over the motorboat. Try to think over that.
And by the way, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
There's water. You could drown in that.
Yeah. You know? And you're going to the more naked. Yeah. The edge of the water is the least dangerous part. Boat right. people are like, let's go to the middle.
The middle, yeah.
Yeah. The most dangerous.
No, it's insane. You're out there. You're left alone with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
And what are those thoughts?
Yeah, I don't.
You know.
I want to go back to land and
I'm
distract
gonna have a
myself.
Heart attack. I don't like my socks, you know. What are these thoughts?
Yeah. We had some, I will say one thing we did this summer was we played poker.
Yes.
That I like. Do you like playing poker?
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, you're not good.
No,
yeah.
I'm not good.
What is your downside?
It's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can't. I can't bluff.
Yeah.
I tried to bluff.
Right.
but heat radiates from my head. Like, everybody knows I'm bluffing. I can't act it, you know? Why can't I act like I don't have anything?
I think the problem is your entire life, you have sort of famously made a name for yourself by saying exactly what you're thinking. And so to, like, pull back and all of a sudden be inscrutable, that is not a skill you have developed.
Yes, I can't do it. I get very self-conscious.
Yep.
And I go, they know. They know. You know, it's going on my head. They know. Don't do it. And yet I'll continue to stay in, put more money in, thinking someone might go out, but they don't go out.
No. And you sing a lot. You sing at the table.
I sing at the table. I love to sing.
You do. You have a wonderful singing voice. Not a lot of people know that.
I don't know if I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I was bluffing. I was bluffing.
You were bluffing. You got me. Yeah.
Did you have any hesitation before doing season 10, or do you still have the same enjoyment for it?
No, I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, there's hesitation.
What is your fear? Like, it's not going to be as much fun? Is it not going to be as good? What do you hesitate on?
Yeah, it might not be as good, you know. Yeah. Stuff like that.
And JB Smoove is back again. One of the all-time greats.
He's the greatest.
And I guess he has, what, he come in season 4 or 5, Leon, around then?
6.
Okay, came in season 6. He was here on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And I told him you were coming. And I would like to try to describe what he did, but I think it's better if we let JB describe what he did real quick. Larry is actually coming on the show on Thursday. So you had an idea that you could maybe do this.
I do a thing with all my friends. It's called Message for That Ass. It's kind of like putting a message in a bottle, but you put it in a sofa, you know? It's just a way of touching base with people and letting them you care about them.
Right.
Now, this message is not for the person, said person. It's for their ass.
Oh, okay. Then,
so it's a message for their ass.
And now I believe, if you want to check, I believe he left the message in the couch. You have to look.
Really?
I think it's in the...
It's under this seat or it's in the couch?
Yeah, I think it's under this seat, right? Yeah, yeah.
No, there's no seat.
What? Under Larry's seat, yeah.
Okay. Oh, here it is.
All right, there you go.
Oh.
So this is what JB wrote for us. You let us know what he said.
Sending a message for your ass. Filled with love for season...
Yeah.
Filled with love for season 10... From my ass to yours, Larry. Oh, by the way, don't tell Seth, but while I was there...
Is it too personal?
No, it's... By the way, don't tell Seth, but while I was there lamping, I farted hard...
Hard.
To this chair. They might as well go on ahead and sell it.
Larry David, everybody. Curb Your Enthusiasm returns for a 10th season, January 19th on HBO.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loureau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.